Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing to study Titus chapter 2. We are looking at the words that Paul communicated to Titus specifically concerning sound doctrine. And as we've been looking at chapter 2 in particular, we have looked at what Paul has communicated to Titus regarding sound doctrine in relation to the older men, the older women, the young men, and then re-emphasizing Titus's responsibility, not only concerning sound doctrine, but concerning his example, the impression that Titus is to make consistently, particularly as it relates to his conduct. And we're just going to go over the verses that communicate this to Titus here in chapter 2, and then we will resume the study in verse 9. So as Paul has communicated to Titus, saying to Titus in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, "In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." And this again is from the New American Standard Bible. So as we've continued to look at this letter overall, as we started in chapter 1 and now looking at Titus chapter 2, we will not complete the third chapter, but we will go through the first two verses in chapter 3. At least that is the plan as it stands right now. So it's very important for us to understand that chapter 2 is not disconnected from chapter 1. As a matter of fact, this is best understood as a letter because that's what it is. So with it being a letter, then the thought that Paul starts with, he is continuing to communicate about or to build upon the subject that he wrote to Titus about. So in other words, this all has to do with what Paul is not only communicating here in chapter 2, but also what he communicates in the preceding chapter, that being chapter 1, and also what he communicates in the following chapter, and of course, that being chapter 3. But what we're emphasizing once again is more so how Paul highlights sound doctrine, how he emphasizes and re-emphasizes the importance of sound doctrine specifically as it relates to Titus's role, and then as it relates to the responsibility of the elders and the pastors, the preachers and the teachers, and Titus being one who is preaching and teaching, who is for the most part overseeing the ministry or the work of the ministry here in Crete, which is where he is currently located during the time of this letter. So as we consider what Paul has been saying to Titus, it's important to, when we look at chapter 1, to understand again what Paul has said about or in relation to sound doctrine, or those who are empty talkers and deceivers, rebellious men, as he says in chapter 1, verse 10. But we're continuing to build upon what Paul says in chapter 1, verse 9, where he says, "Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict." So as we're continuing, and again, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, and follow along if you have the King James or the English Standard or the NIV. Just follow along, and the message, I assure you, is the same. So what Paul has said in chapter 1 and verse 9, I just want to reiterate so that we do not stray away from sound doctrine and really the subject in relation to the other things that Paul is communicating with regard to Titus's responsibility concerning sound doctrine or sound teaching, sound instruction. So holding fast the faithful word, speaking of the overseers or the elders, the pastors, the preachers and the teachers, this is their responsibility. And speaking of exhorting or encouraging and calling near to communicate this sound teaching and refuting those who contradict. So there are those who are contrary. And as we go through chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, then Paul says, again, I'm just reminding you so that we understand the relationship between what Paul communicates in chapter 1 and where we are in chapter 2. He says, again, in chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many rebellious men. So again, this is the reason that he is reminding Titus of his responsibility in relation to sound doctrine, and not just Titus's responsibility, but the responsibility of the overseers in and throughout the cities of Crete. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. So here we go. As we're looking at what Paul communicates to Titus here in chapter 2, it's important to understand that what Paul is saying is that there are some who are speaking, and what he means by this, they are teaching and communicating things which they are not to be communicating because it's contrary to sound doctrine. So he identifies them again as rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers. And he says they must be silenced because they are upsetting entire families. They are teaching empty things or vain things, and they are deceiving people, and therefore they must be silenced. Now, on the other hand, what Paul is communicating to Titus is you've got to keep talking. You've got to keep speaking. You've got to keep preaching and teaching because you are responsible for communicating sound instruction. So again, it's sort of like the picture of if you consider somebody who's responsible for feeding people. And on the one hand, somebody is feeding people junk food or food that's not good for them. And of course, we can relate this to what goes on physically. If we say, well, somebody looks good, and you ask them how they feel, they say they feel good. And then you find out that they have, for example, diabetes or high blood pressure or high cholesterol, something that for the most part is related to poor diet or food that is contrary to your health, your well-being. So on the outside, you can look good. To you, you can feel good, and yet you're not healthy because what you're taking in and what is being given to you is contrary to your health, to your well-being. And we mean this physically, of course. On the other hand, if you have somebody who is eating well and who is being fed healthy food, then they are going to reflect that as well. Okay, so they may not be look as good, but they will be in better health. So as we consider this, it should also be manifested in how they live, like what they're able to do. For example, if they're not overweight and they don't feel sluggish and things of that nature. So there's sort of this correlation that we can make as it relates to physical food and physical health. So when we take this and then we communicate it in terms of our spiritual food and spiritual health, then this is what Paul is communicating when he speaks of sound doctrine. Healthy, well-being, uncorrupt, good for the believer, good for all people. Okay, so when we consider this, the ones who Paul is saying must be silenced are the ones who are giving the junk food, the spiritual junk food. And they're giving it because they want to be popular with the kids, and they want to show that they'll give them anything they want. And they're the cool parent, so to speak, or the people who, you know, if you're hungry, they give you ice cream and candy. They don't give you vegetables and fruit and food that's good for you. But in Titus's case, he's saying you've got to be responsible for feeding them what's good and wholesome and right. And this is why Paul goes into the particulars in chapter 2, because this is what sound doctrine is. This is the teaching that sound doctrine communicates, that sound doctrine instructs, you know, and it's all about staying true to the faithful word, which is the word of God, the teaching that has been communicated from Jesus Christ and his apostles, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 in particular, go ye therefore and teach all nations. There's not a separate doctrine. Although we communicate that in our day, it's shameful. There's not to be separate doctrine for separate churches. If you are truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the responsibility of the overseers, the elders, the pastors, the preachers, the teachers. So as we look at this, this is what is being emphasized. Jesus talks about teaching. He talks about going and teaching, baptizing, and then teaching them to observe all things. All things. That's an important point. Whatsoever I have commanded you. Everything that I've commanded you, you are to communicate to those who desire to follow me, or again, those who claim to be of the household of faith, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So this is for those who walk by faith. So again, I'm highlighting this responsibility that Titus has. We've talked about the challenges that we face, particularly in our time, in relation to communicating sound doctrine, both within the church and outside of the church. So we get to, again, specifically where Paul tells Titus, he says in verse 1 in chapter 2, in the King James, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In the New American Standard, it says, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. So again, this is the difference. Go back in chapter 1 and in verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. And this is what the King James says. So Titus is to be the one who is communicating the message of truth. Teaching truth, teaching the word of God, which is contrary to those who contradict. So Titus is refuting them. And again, that is sort of the competition that prevails. It not only prevails in our day, but it prevailed back at that time. Now, when I say prevail, I don't mean that they will actually overtake the true people of God. But what I mean by that is those who teach false teaching and doctrine, which is contrary to the truth, then they are determined to continue and to corrupt the truth. And this is, again, the responsibility that Titus has, is to refute those who are trying to corrupt the people of God by corrupting the message of truth, the word of faith, the faithful word of God. So as we look again with what Paul then says in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, where he communicates again that Titus is to, the King James says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. And then it goes on in verse 8 to say, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, again, we're getting to those who are contrary or those who contradict, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So as we continue to look at Titus's responsibility, it's not just a matter of the teaching, it's also a matter of the conduct, it's also a matter of the behavior. So it is speech and behavior. And when speech is highlighted in verse 8 in Titus chapter 2, the emphasis is again on his preaching, his teaching, his doctrine. So his doctrine is to be according to truth, and it is to be consistent. The doctrine does not change. It is to be consistent. It is to be the consistent, ever-abiding message of God according to the truth of God and his word. So Titus is to model this both in behavior and speech. And it is communicated that this letter is, as well as what we'll find in Timothy, is it's about sound doctrine and good works. It's about the combo pack of those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, you don't just, it's not just about the teaching. It's not just about the instruction. It's about applying the teaching. It's about living out our faith. And that works together with the teaching that we receive. And that's why when we started out, we spoke of the importance of realizing that the apex of the Christian life is not the emotion of worship and talking about Jesus and talking about your faith. Hey, listen, as I told you before, my brother in the ministry says, say amen with your feet. You know, if you are in agreement with the word of God, again, not that God needs our approval for his word to be true and for him to remain faithful, because the scripture points that out. But it is a matter of, if I'm in agreement, then I have to live it out. I have to demonstrate my obedience to the instruction that I receive. And this is what Paul first and foremost holds Titus accountable for. And that is, you're not to be like these other teachers who are corrupt. You're not to be corrupt. You are to be sound, and you are to have a behavior that demonstrates a pattern of good works. You are to give that impression, that you are to be that stamp, that example of good toiling, of beneficial work, of virtuous works. And this is in relation to your doctrine as well, speech and life. So in doctrine, he is to demonstrate sincerity. He being Titus is to demonstrate purity or sincerity, that which is dignified, respectable, and beyond reproach. They can disagree, they can be hostile, but they can't legitimately say that you are a corrupt teacher, because you are communicating truth and you are living out the truth that you teach. And this is the disconnect for the modern day preachers. If I got into the particulars, we'd be here all for the rest of the year and then some. So I'm not gonna make an attempt to be specific about that now, but just suffice it to say that there are enough viral videos going around of ignorance being demonstrated from the pulpit that it would be funny if it weren't so sad. Let's look and move forward now with what Paul continues to communicate to Titus regarding the sound doctrine that he is speaking to him about, and what else Titus is to communicate or continue to communicate as it relates to sound doctrine. So let's tie this together again. starting in chapter 2, verse 1 in Titus, reading from the New American Standard Bible, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. So all that follows is in relation to that. So we just picked up in verses 7 and 8 because we've already covered verses 1 through 6. We review verses 7 and 8 because we've already talked about it. We highlighted once again what Paul has communicated starting in the first chapter of Titus and what he communicated as he moved on to the end of the first chapter, and then how he springboards that into chapter 2, saying that Titus is not to be of the same cloth of those who are unbelieving and unclean and who profess to know God, but they deny him in their deeds or in their works. Nothing is good about them because they are disobedient and detestable, and he says worthless for anything good or worthless concerning anything good. So think about this and ask yourselves, is this the time in which we live as well? You know, and it appears that way to me, and this is why I pose this question. So as we move down now and continue in at verse 9 in Titus chapter 2, after Paul speaks to Titus about his speech and conduct, he says, okay, continuing this, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing. This is Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Not argumentative. And then moving on to verse 10, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. So he continues with the instruction, more specifically, the sound instruction that he is to preach and teach. And in this case, he's speaking of the bond slaves, the servants or the slaves. And urge or exhort is not actually in there. And it is understood as part of the text. So it speaks of the slaves or the servants for Titus to teach them to be subject or obedient unto their masters in everything. So this is what it's speaking of and what he has to address as part of his responsibility as a preacher and teacher. And listen, we comprehend this, or we try to understand this with a Western mentality. That is, anytime we hear something about slaves or servants and things of that nature, then, you know, based on the history of certain people, then we are inclined to raise up and resist and to take issue with what's communicated. Well, listen, this is scripture. And the understanding concerning bond slaves, slaves and servants, in the context of the scripture is not the way that it was executed, so to speak, throughout the Western world and throughout the world in the times that we understand, which is more closely associated with, you know, the history that we know. In American history, especially. But I want you to try to understand this, and you must try to understand it in the context in which it's communicated. It is not the same as the slavery that we understand with a Western mindset. And it's real the way that we understand it and the way that it was experienced by those who came before us. However, it is not the same as that which is communicated here in Titus chapter 2. So please understand that. So that being the case, then the servant or the bond slave has a responsibility. This is a binding responsibility. And this is one of the reasons why it's communicated as being a bond slave, because it is binding. It is an agreement. It is the servant in agreement with the master. And the master, again, think of the terminology that Jesus used during his ministry. Think of the way that the term is used for those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bond servants. We're slaves to God. And we're slaves according to righteousness, though. So, and there are responsibilities that we have to our masters. So as this is communicated in the context of the scriptures, then it is communicated as it relates to the responsibility of both throughout the scriptures. But in this case, in Titus chapter 2, the emphasis and the focal point is more on the servant or the bond slave and the responsibility of the bond slave to his or her master, which is, again, to be subject, to be obedient, which is, you know, to say that you are to subordinate yourself or to obey your master. And this is what Paul is communicating to Titus, for Titus to communicate and listen. It is sound instruction. Why? Because as we talked about when we started out with this, this is not about your reputation. This is about God's reputation in you. How you demonstrate your allegiance, your obedience, your faithfulness to God. And therefore, what God instructs us to do, how he instructs us to live in order to please him, we obey. And part of that obedience is obeying the masters, for the bond slaves and servants who we are bound to. And in this case, who they are bound to. And we oftentimes put this in the context of work. It's not a direct correlation, but it does follow to some degree the responsibility of those who have been hired to serve. And this is what this is about. And this was what I communicate to people who, you know, want accolades and want our service to Jesus Christ to seem like we are doing, you know, this great thing that where Jesus owes us a standing ovation every time, you know, we do something in his name. And it is certainly not the case. It's our pleasure to serve him, and we're only doing what we are supposed to do. So that's just a reminder for us as bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is sort of a picture more in line with that. And as bond slaves being subject to their own masters and everything, then they are to be obedient and subordinate. They're not to be insubordinate. And remember, we're talking about believers. So this sound doctrine is being communicated to those who have been called into this relationship of servanthood under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Jesus says, be subject to your earthly masters in everything. And that's important to understand. You're not picking and choosing in everything, he says. And he says this again, it's communicating where he says to be well-pleasing or to please them well in all things. It is to be agreeable and acceptable fully. So in everything, it's saying in every way, in every manner of your service, of your servanthood, please your master. Please your master. And this is what he is communicating. And again, listen, understand it within the context in which it's communicated. And then it says in a New American Standard Version, not being argumentative, which is to say, not talking back. You know, we hate that as parents. And this is also the case that is communicated for those who are servants and have masters. They are to not dispute, not to speak against, or to argue with their masters, because you are to live as a bondservant of Christ. And therefore, to be subject to Christ is to be obedient to his teaching, which is to be subject to your earthly masters in every way, and to be well-pleasing, agreeable, and not argumentative. We will stop here, and Lord willing, we will resume the study when we meet again. But until then, remember that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.